Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry.
Don't sound so surprised. You are part of this team now. Yes, this is the Game Junkies podcast. Guys, welcome back to another episode. We are on episode 51. Now. 51 now. Bloody hell. Where is the time going, Alex?
I have no idea. And all I know is we're creeping further and further into insanity.
We are. That's definitely the case, and definitely because we are still in lockdown. Although, since we last recorded, of course, lockdown rules are being slowly rolled back, very, very slowly, until we can actually get together. And Alex has said at some point he will be coming to see me this summer, which means in that case I'll get to punch him in the arm for all he's done to me with Reed this year. But
that's spoilers, because this is coming out before.
Absolutely. In general, for the whole season, you had me with my wife, which I didn't know about at the time.
I mean, I will be honest, the first season is very Reed and Eli heavy. After season one ends, we will move on to other characters. There's a lot to go over with them too, especially Reed, believe it or not.
To be fair, season one of my season was very Eli and Rain heavy, and to be fair,
Eli. Still...
Habit. Alili and Rain heavy, and to be fair, Alili still had quite a bit of influence on this series so far. Rain, believe me, you're going to get your chance. But first, let's talk about some news that's happening. Now, the first bit of news that I wanted to discuss is that since we last recorded, of course, provisional dates have been put in place for EGX and EGX Res. Now, both were cancelled last year. E3 seemed to be a digital event this year. So EGX returning, with restrictions in the UK looking like they'll be lifted by the time these two events come round, quite exciting. I mean, it's kind of scary in a way, because we haven't had that sort of social interaction for a year.
No.
It is sort of scary. Hopefully Kerry will be able to join us for when we go to EGX this year. If you want to, it's up to you, of course.
I'm but contractually obligated to join in, though.
You are, actually.
I will put Gary in my suitcase.
You are, and Alex is paying. It's fine. So, hey, look, but in any case, the fact that they're even provisionally making these things look like they're going to happen is very exciting. I could live without E3 quite happily. I mean, let's face it, last year proved that E3 wasn't needed, and they still were able to pimp their own releases via their own live streams and things like that. Nintendo have been doing well with Directs, as we've talked about, and Chris on his show. Obviously, he was talking about digital events. Go check out his last two, because you guys will want to. But this one, the EGX, is all about getting hands-on with it. And the amount of awesome games we got hands on with, not just in your Call of Duties and all the massive Nintendo games that we were able to get a chance of, but all the Red stuff as well, which was amazing. And it's a great way to showcase everything else to everyone else. I just hope that I think Red might be a little soon, because it's very close to the restriction lift date.
July time.
It is. Only a month after.
Whether you look at EGX itself, that's in October.
It is in October. And where it is rather a dilemma, because they provisionally said it's going to be at the XL Arena again, which is currently a hospital. So,
I guess we'll just have to see. I mean, if they lift all their restrictions by June, then it's not going to take them that long to clear it out, to be fair.
To be fair, it is a flat pack. It is a flat pack construction, so it should be fairly easy to dismantle as well. Obviously, there may need to be some masks involved, but if that's the case, I'm pretty sure we won't mind wearing masks. And
yeah, of course.
Using our hand sanitizers and things, because everyone does that now anyway. It would be nice to get out and about a bit.
I don't think I've left SoTash since March last year.
I haven't left my hometown at all since last March either.
Oh, it is miserable. I try living in SoTash, it's horrible.
I'm not going to pass judgment on someone's hometown when my own hometown has got a song called Straight Outta Clacton, which I shared on Facebook today for the 7th year in a row. Yeah, so that's my first bit of news. You guys got some news to talk about, or?
No, to be honest. I haven't had a chance, really, to look up what's happening. Okay, well, all I know is that we're a week closer. Well, we're closer and closer to Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Which you are extremely happy about. Kerry, have you got any news for us?
Do we get to talk about Diamond and Pearl remakes? Or?
Oh, that yes, absolutely. We get to talk about Diamond and Pearl remakes.
Fantastic.
Okay, so, yes. If anyone's been living under a rock, the biggest Pokemon game to come out this year is not Pokemon Unite. Fuck you, yay. Tencent. Fuck you, Tencent. It is unquestionably Pokemon... Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
Absolutely. And I've already told Chris he's getting Diamond because I had Pearl last time and I'm sticking with it.
Palkia is better than Dialga.
Well,
obviously, go do one, Alex.
But we're open to discuss. But it's the sort of thing which we want to get back to talk about rather than restrictions and COVID or whatever. We want to get back to argue about which Pokemon is the best. And the best way of doing it is they're going to fight each other to the death. So, which, of course, now we've started doing some video recording, of course, it will be going up on the Game Donkeys YouTube at some point. So that will be fantastic. How excited were you when you heard about this, Kerry? Because I know you're a massive Pokemon fan.
I was obviously really excited. I was kind of excited to see Alex's reaction, because as much as I loved this generation, this was kind of the one for him. I actually remember us picking up his Pokemon Pearl. It was in Woolworths, that's how long ago it was.
15 years ago, I was 6.
I got many copies of the game from Woolworths, so I was good. I picked up Metal Gear Solid 2. I picked up Resident Evil Code Veronica in Woolworths. That's how long ago that was. That was back in the very early part of PS2's life. So yeah, I can remember all those sorts of things. Now I feel really old.
Same.
But at the same time, I was very happy to see Alex's reaction as well. He lost his shit.
I was over it. Because I knew they were announcing a new Pokemon game. And I was like, okay. Next day, when it was being announced, I was at work. I was like, I wonder if they've announced it yet. So I opened up Twitter. And the hashtag is Diamond and Pearl. So I click on it. And the first thing I get was what I put in the group chat with the logos, and I just thought, yay.
It's just like,
yay is an understatement.
Just like, please let it not be like, let's go Gold and Silver, as much as I love Gold and Silver.
If it was a let's go game, I would have gone to the shop and tipped to the shelf.
It would still be better than Pokemon Unite.
We don't need another let's go game. Hopefully Game Freak learned that.
To be fair, it was a nice way to ease people back in before Sword and Shield came out. It was a great way of doing that, yeah. And a nice nostalgia blast.
Yes and no. Let's Go doesn't need another game.
It was a nice way to lead back in, but you don't need to do another one now. As you say, you don't need to do another one now. It was just a nice way to lead back in, and they tried some certain things out, which they've done in Sword and Shield. And a lot of people have compared the Pokemon series now to Zelda, because the new Pokemon...
Oh, yeah, the Arceus one. It looks a bit like Breath of the Wild's world, which I can see.
It's fine.
You can see that perfectly.
It's going to be, that one will be an interesting one to review, because I'm looking forward to playing that.
It's a really interesting take on it.
Yeah. Let's forget, though, that they've also compared Pearl and Diamond a little bit to it, because Zelda had a similar sort of way of playing.
Oh, yeah. As well.
But at the same time, I'm like, but all games were like that back in the day.
I like it.
Can we just talk about it, how many people have been bitching on the internet about the graphics for Diamond and Pearl?
It's like they're staying loyal to the original style, though, and that's what I love about it. When everyone was like this little midget sprite thing.
That's what they've gone for, and people were so pissy. It's like, just fucking get over it. You've been asking for this for 15 years. They give it to you, and you moan that it's not good enough.
I mean, it wouldn't really be the same if they had like the customizable trainer and things like that in it. Because that wasn't part of Diamond and Pearl.
Be the original characters.
It's like, way back when, your trainer was they looked however they looked, however they designed them.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what you get and that's what you have.
And then they brought out Gen 6, which was such a, like, up on what we were used to.
Oh, man. For sure, for sure.
Who knows? Gen 6 remakes at some point.
Oh, God.
But the fact of the matter is that they've gone the right way with Pearl and Diamond. And yes, it's a year later than I'd have liked it, but I'll take it, you know? Bear in mind, if they'd have released last year, it would have eased the pain a little bit of the Unite one, but...
Unite one was just the biggest troll ever, because if you saw the original thing before they announced it, the director's sat in his chair by his desk, and behind him, there was... what do you call it? There was a Gen 3 starter teddies. There was the new starter teddies. There was a Let's Go Switch. Everyone was expecting a Let's Go Johto. Mm. And instead we got Battle Royale Pokemon.
To be fair, you took the Let's Go over that, wouldn't you?
I would have taken the Let's Go over that. And I hate Let's Go. I hate Let's Go because of the training. Like how... leveling up works. It's stupid.
Well, the fact that you don't battle to catch a Pokemon is a little bit.
You have to, and because the way they train it, you have to catch like a million Pokemon to actually get decent EXP.
But the $1 million question.
Yes.
Is who you're picking as a starter?
Turtwig.
Turtwig was always my choice back in the day as well. I must admit. Doesn't mean it's going to be this time.
Team again. I'm
looking for. I'm just looking forward to playing it. Absolutely, there's so much about Pokemon I love, and another great one to review this year.
Do you wonder if Fairy type will be in this game?
I think it will.
It would seem a bit odd if they cut out a typing completely, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I can't see them cutting it out. It just wouldn't make much sense.
What makes sense nowadays?
It'd be interesting to see if the National Dex is going to be in this game as well. Because there won't be a lot of fairy Pokemon at all, if that's the case. Like, if they didn't include the National Dex in just Gen 4, that would give you, like, 5-6 fairy types in total, I think?
About that, yeah.
You've got Togekiss, Gardevoir, Clefable, and that would be about it, from all I can think of, in this game.
Does Azumarill have a type?
Azumarill, yeah. Azumarill. I think that's it.
That's the evolved Mew, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mew. I used to love Mew. Looking forward to that for sure. Right, we're going to wrap up the news, because I want to talk about the BAFTAs. I don't mean like TV and film. I mean the BAFTA Game Awards, which are coming up at the end of the month. There are lots of different categories, but I just want to highlight a few little bits which are nominated for the awards. For Artistic Achievement, Cyberpunk 2077. Not entirely sure they should be shouting about it at the moment, thinking about how much the glitches it's got, but artistic-wise, it's beautiful. It's up against Dreams and Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us 2 in every category. So, There's several games in that one, but one which are really big for us is Best Game of the Year, which the people in this category is Miles Morales, Last of Us Part 2, Half-Life Alyx. That's not a game on Alyx's life.
Yeah, I know. But it'd only be half. Half my life. I'd be a bit concerned. I'm only 22, and it's half my life.
But it is Valve's first game for a long, long time. To be fair, Hades, Ghost of Tsushima, and Animal Crossing New Horizons, because it released after the awards last year. It's gonna win, isn't it? It's gonna win.
Yeah, it's gotta win. Animal Crossing has gotta win.
It's gonna win.
Being realistic.
It had immaculate timing as well when it came out.
Absolutely. Animal Crossing could have not dropped on a better day. I mean, I think I put about 400 hours extra time on my Switch because of it. Because I was locked up in the house.
Didn't it literally drop on the day everything started to lock down?
The day after.
Yeah.
The day after lockdown, yeah.
I remember going into one of my workplaces to do a deep clean. Haven't been there since, and that was the day it dropped, so...
It dropped on the day after the UK locked down, yes. Talk about the UK, best British game. Sackboy, A Big Adventure. Roki, which we played at EGX, Alyx, of course, and it was a good game.
I really like Roki. I haven't got as far as I'd like to, but if we're talking about best British games, I'd probably pick Roki.
Roki is up against Sackboy, The Last Campfire, Fall Guys, which started off like House of Fire and petered off, but now being coming back again, now it's going onto all consoles, Dreams, and F1 2020.
Roki's not going to win that, but it should do.
Roki probably should win that one.
I mean, it's one of the indie developers, so it should definitely win.
Mm. In terms of other games, Fifth Family Game, Animal Crossing is up against Astro's Playroom, Dreams, Fall Guys, Minecraft Dungeons, and Sackboy. Basically, a lot of games are in multiple categories, but it's going to be a lot of double winners here, obviously. But there's two last ones I want to talk about, which is Technical Achievement, which has some games which I weren't expecting in there. You've got Microsoft Flight Simulator up against Doom Eternal and Demon's Souls, and a couple of others as well.
I don't think it will beat Doom Eternal, if I'm honest.
Doom Eternal was amazing. It's on the Game Pass. I actually fired out the other day. It's beautiful. Dreams is in there as well, and Last of Us 2 and Miles Morales. The Technical Achievements, all of them have done really well, but this last award category is the game which you at home get to vote for. This is, we're not sponsored by them, but it's the EE Game of the Year Award. You get to vote this, you get to choose between Valorant, Last of Us 2, Hades, Call of Duty Warzone, Ghost of Tsushima, and Animal Crossing New Horizons. I wonder what that's going to be.
I'd say it's Animal Crossing New Horizons, but I do have a strong feeling that The Last of Us 2 could win that, which I kind of hope it doesn't.
There's a lot of games there which are good, but as I've said before, New Horizons literally saved lives last year with mental health. It saved lives, no question. And... hard to think a video game could do that, but it did. And good for you guys, Nintendo. You showed everybody how to do it properly. We'll keep an eye on that towards the end of the month. If there's nothing else to talk about, though, guys, we're going to get into our main feature, the top three OP weapons in gaming. Now, Kerry, this is your first list outside of a end of year special sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we're quite excited to hear your thoughts on this, because me and Alyx just ramble usually. So what we're going to do is we're going to let you go first, because you've got... Now, have you ranked them from from third to one, or have you just gone in any order?
I've kind of gone in any order. Admittedly, I find this list a bit hard to put together. I tried to think about it and my brain just went, nah.
That's fair enough. I had quite a lot to choose from. However, I will say from the outset that if it's a weapon that you can deploy in the game, or the weapon featured in the game, it counts. The weapon has to be featured in a game. Okay.
If the weapon is there, it's yes. usable.
Yes. Yes.
Because I kind of my list is a bit scummy, so any OP weapon.
Indeed. Indeed. So, Kerry, what is your first selection?
My first selection isn't actually a weapon the player uses.
Okay. I like this already.
I was thinking back to Kingdom Hearts 2 and Sephiroth's fucking sword.
That thing was...
when he, like, 2-3 shots you when you're, like, one of the highest levels.
I couldn't even see him. He was just evil.
I used to have a friend who was, like, genius at this game. She knew everything. Even she got Sephiroth right down to the last bit, and then he just, like... And I've never seen somebody rage so hard at a game.
You rage way more than me, young man.
Wait, am I pointing at Kerry or you?
Oh, on your screen. Pointing at me on my screen. You're pointing at Kerry.
Wow, yeah. Rude.
Zaldin.
yeah, Zaldin. And the best part is, all I did was level up once and change my keyblade and I wiped the floor with him. I'm still upset about that.
Hey, result, end of the day. It's all good. I can vouch for that because Sephiroth is now in Super Smash, of course, and he's got the same sword.
Like a 9-foot-long sword.
Yeah!
Is he not playable or is he a boss?
Fully playable. Fully playable.
Oh, that must be evil to go against.
Fully playable, and he's DLC. You've got to pay a fiver for him.
But does he have come with his awesome soundtrack?
Yes.
Ah!
Is he as strong as he is in every other game he's in?
It depends on the player. If a player had used him, then he's as beatable as anyone.
Hmm. Intriguing.
But yeah, Sephiroth has still got that bitch-ass sword. And yeah, that's OP weapon, Kerry. Good shout. Very good shout. You knew how to play this game. Speaking of playing the game, Alex.
Right. So for my first one, I am going to pick a weapon from a game that's not so serious. And that's Saints Row 3. I'm going to pick the Reaper drone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because you open up the laptop and you have access to an unlimited amount of fully controllable drones that you can direct slowly and then hit the accelerate button and they fly out the sky and they can destroy tanks in one hit.
Yes. Yes, these things
make... unlimited drones from a computer that you are fully controllable is just broken.
Absolutely ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can't even be killed when using the drone. Like, the enemies just sort of pause around you.
So yeah.
It's broken.
Because when you're doing, like, Predator missiles on Call of Duty, as an example, you can be killed while you're flying in. I mean, you get to fire the missile with no problem, but then you respawn and a new respawn spot because you've been killed during it. So that is an OP weapon, Alex. Absolutely. I like the fact that you can spawn anything at random on Saints Row. It started off as just a GTA clone and then became something completely messed up.
Saints Row is just next level for some reason. And I don't know why, because it's so crappy sometimes.
It makes GTA look small time at times.
It is it's literally just GTA on LSD. That's all it is.
Absolutely. Anytime you can select a how can I word this without sounding obtuse? I can't. A fucking dildo as your weapon. Then
what was it called? No, it's not called the dildo, it's called the penetrator. the 6 foot long dildo baseball bat is called the penetrator.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah.
You can whack people with it.
You can whack him with your wang, absolutely. Yes. Kerry, you better say something, sorry, before I cut you off with smut.
I do remember laughing at the massive dildo you can use to beat people with. But I think I just remember walking into Axe Room where he was playing that game and it had the fucking crappiest walk cycle I'd ever seen in a character. With like the legs that completely defy physics.
But at the same time, that's half the appeal, which is kind of good.
It looks like fun.
You want to try fun? Play Saint Row 4 when you can literally, when you can run as fast as Sonic and jump like miles into the air. That game, Superpowers, is such a fun thing for Saints Row, and it makes so much sense.
It also ended up breaking the series.
I mean, that is true, because they literally blew up Earth, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, okay, that did break the series.
That's not going to happen over 4 years, it's fine.
That is a very good point for breaking the series.
Right. Anything else to talk about regarding Saints Row and their various ways of using stuff for the bedroom as weapons?
No, not that I can think of. Just the Reaper drones themselves. If you compare them to drones in other games, they're the most broken shit I've ever seen.
But I have a feeling we may bring something which is slightly more broken in a moment. My first pick is taking you to Nintendo. I'm taking you to Mario Kart. It's the blue shell.
Damn it.
Was that you on your pick, was it, Kerry?
I've got a replacement for it, it's fine.
Oh. I was torn between that and the bullet bill.
That's my replacement.
That's okay, you could talk, as you say, you could talk about bullet bill, it's fine. The blue shell, have you ever seen a more OP piece of shit as a weapon? I mean, literally a case of, you can be, say for example, it's when me and Alex were playing Mario Kart with Chris when we were in London. I would fire the blue shell usually, and Alex would be in first place and Chris would be in second, usually how it went. And Alex would slow down to catch Chris in actual pass rate.
So then aim for Chris.
That's my brother.
But the thing is that the appeal of it is it will target who is in first place when it's fired. When it's fired, not who actually is in first place. And the thing is, if first place already crossed the line, it will target second. So it really is OP as all hell. I don't remember when it first debuted in the Mario Kart series, but it's terrifying. Because we called them leader seekers when we were kids in our house. But yeah, the blue shell, when that gets fired, you know that you have either hope no one's close behind you or basically try and catch someone else in it with you, because otherwise you're screwed.
Yeah, literally, the person who fires it is like, "Father, I crave violence," before they throw it.
But it can drop you from like first place to seventh place in a matter of like 2 seconds.
That is the one thing that is just evil. It's absolutely evil in Mario Kart.
Absolutely. This is one of those cases where you say, Nintendo, what have you done? What have you done? Have
made Nintendo crave violence.
Absolutely. But it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous how it's a cutesy little game which you can fire up the occasional banana skin. And then suddenly you get pulverized by a nuclear warhead, basically.
Yeah.
With a similar sort of explosion. Let's face it. Yeah, so that's my first pick, the blue shell from Mario Kart.
It's basically a seagull.
Yes. Now, Kerry, I apologize for stealing the blue shell from you.
I had like blue shell / bullet bill written down, so.
So, what have you got for us next? I'm guessing you're gonna follow on my lead from this, are you?
Might as well. Bullet Bill. Nothing stops that bad boy when he's coming along.
No, absolutely. And the really scary thing about that Bullet Bill is that you have very little control over it. You can sort of nudge it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can't really control it. And it's sort of like, I mean, it is OP as hell. The only thing which brings it back a little bit, and the reason why I chose the shell over it, is because it does depend when you deploy it and how far up the field you've got before it runs out. That's the only thing which lacks it a little bit. I mean, if it's brutal. I mean, nothing yet. You know, I think it even knocks you out of the way if you're using the superstar.
I think it does. I haven't played Mario Kart in a hot minute, so I can't remember rightly, but...
Alex should remember, seeing as he played it on the stage at EGX, of course.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
Did you get Blue Shell at all in your time on the stage, or Bullet Build?
I can't really remember. Like, you get so exhausted.
It was a blur. It was a bit of a blur, yes. But what's your opinion about the Bullet Bill?
Don't be in front of it.
That's
good advice.
That is good advice, Alex, without a question. But is it OP for you? I think it's an OP weapon. I think Kerry's absolutely nailed it for sure on that one. It's definitely an OP weapon. If you get one of those in your box, you know, you're near the back of the pack, and that's unlucky on you, but you won't be for long. is the other answer I would give. Good pick, Kerry. Great pick. Solid pick. You're doing well so far. Alex?
So, hit me out on this one, because it is kind of a weapon, but it's not a weapon. And I'm going to pick the Master Ball from Pokemon.
That was one of my honorable mentions. Because you can't stop it.
Well, I'm stealing it now anyway. Yeah. You, obviously, in the terms, you throw the Pokeball to catch the Pokemon. And that you cannot physically escape a Master Ball. So the Pokemon can try as hard as it wants, but it's done once you throw a Master Ball at it. So
if it hits.
Which it always does.
If you're playing Let's Go, I imagine it is possible to miss.
But we don't think about Let's Go, because that's a piece of shit in comparison to the rest of the game. So
the animation they use for the capture of Mewtwo with a Master Ball is absolutely stunning.
And I caught him in a Great Ball, so I did better.
You did, but I wanted the animation, so I enjoyed that.
So
anyway, it's Kerry's point in Master Ball. Oh, you're a Master Ball. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so just in itself, the fact that you throw it, it's never going to miss, and it's always going to catch. It is an OP weapon.
That is OP. And I think I've lost track of the amount of Master Balls I end up getting on Pearl the first time round. Because the purchase I made, where I got a load of shiny Pokemon, which all had a Master Ball being held by them. So,
hey, if it makes you feel any better, when I first played Diamond and Pearl, I accidentally used my Master Ball on a Geodude without realising. I did catch a Palkia and an Ultra Ball, though.
Did it catch the Geodude?
No, I don't think it did. I think it escaped.
How could a Geodude escape the Master Ball?
I don't know. I was like 7.
Alex blacked out from anger.
First part is, I didn't even realise it. Kerry's like, where's your Master Ball? I was like, I don't know. I was like, wait, you should have one. And then I went through my PC one day. I was like, oh, look, I caught a Geodude and a Master Ball. That's where it went.
Huh.
But this was like a month afterwards. This was like a month after I beat the game.
I can imagine why you'd be like, yeah, that's definitely an OP weapon, Alex. I did consider it, but I was thinking like, nah, I've got other ones I'd like to throw out. Pun intended. I've got a lot of love for the Master Ball, though. Although, the thing is that I think you can get a second one in Sword and Shield.
Yeah, you can. You get it to do the second DLC.
Yeah, to catch the horse.
Yeah, to catch the deer on a horse, because that is a Pokemon.
Yeah, the fact mode is there's like battle means you can keep me, sort of thing. I'm like, screw that shit for a Master Ball. Absolutely. Right, good shout, Alex. Now, my second pick comes from a series which we have at times trashed on this show. Comes from Fallout. Specifically, this one comes from Fallout 3. The Experimental Merv. Now, this is a weapon which I don't know if Kerry's aware of this or not. Have you played Fallout at all?
Admittedly, no, I haven't.
No, it's fine if you haven't. Some people haven't. So it's totally cool. So I was just wondering how much I had to explain. Right. Now, Alex, you have played Fallout, obviously.
Yes, more than I'd care to admit.
This is the most destructive weapon in Fallout 3. The Merv basically is a variation of the classic Fat Man, which basically is a shoulder-mounted rocket launcher which launches a nuclear warhead. This one is like a shotgun, which expels 8 mini-nukes in one shot. However, you can't fire it unless you have all 8 nukes. You have to collect all of 8 of them, and the gun will continue to reload without discharging until you have all 8 loaded. It's extremely damaging, and let's face it, it's 8 nuclear warheads. But the inaccuracy is why it's not my top one. Its efficiency shouldn't be a huge concern. But it does pose somewhat of a threat to its shooter. Because if you're firing at a close range, i.e. indoors, Alex, then you're going to end up basically microwaving yourself. And no amount of Radaway is going to help you with that.
All I know is when you encounter a behemoth for the first time on Fallout 3, having the Merv is just the best thing ever.
I would agree. I will say, again, do not fire it indoors.
Sounds like you've been firing it indoors, Willis.
Not saying I've got personal experience of that at all, but that's what hacks are for. To be fair, that's what cheats are for. I've got a lot of love for Fallout 3. If you get a chance to go and play it, Kerry, I would highly recommend it. And everyone out there, for that matter, because Fallout 3 is a bona fide classic, because it went from being a top-down strategy game, for lack of a better term, to being a first-person shooter of it, pretty much. And who doesn't love a robot dog?
And you can blow up a city.
Absolutely, yes.
Full of innocent people, so it's very fun.
That's slightly more disturbing.
And you can literally do that the moment you leave the vault. Like, within the first half an hour, you can nuke a city.
Alex there, showing why he would never be president of the United States of America. For good reason. Right, now, Kerry, do you want to do your honourable mentions before your last pick, or do you do your last pick first?
I do my last pick first. I feel like it's a bit of a come down from my other two ones.
Well, we'll re-judge about it. Go on.
The Fire Flower in Super Mario games, because you can just spam that bad boy continuously.
That is, yes, if you jump over it, you're fine. But if you get caught with that, you ain't getting out of it till somebody had to drop it. That is an OP weapon. That thing literally was going to keep breathing at you. It's ridiculous. That's a great choice.
Thank you.
That's a great choice. Grant you, it's not quite on the level of the bullet bill, but that thing, yeah, bearing in mind it's all about damage most of the time in Super Smash. Yes. Good choice. Alex has played very little Smash, but he did play a little bit at EGX with me and Chris in the hotel room. And he did enjoy what he played, but not enough to buy it.
I'll get it if it's cheap, but it's a quite expensive game, actually.
Well, yes. If you want to get everything, and yes, it does. If you want to get everything outside of Fighter Passage, you're talking upwards of £200. But if you're gonna get a fighter pass, it's not quite so bad. You save money by getting the fighter passes, obviously. But they're not all out yet, so it's worth it if you want to get all of them. And they've got some great characters in there, Alex, of course. And you can even adjust the settings, so they've all only got Pokeballs, or they've all only got Fire Flowers, and that would be Kerry's choice. So you can literally, they're hanging at the edge, and they've got to climb up, and you're just standing there with a fire flower, waiting like, yes, come on. And Kerry Wood, I'm pretty sure.
So I'm not denying that.
will find out EGX, and we will show the footage to you guys if it happens. It will happen. Kerry, fantastic pick. Fantastic pick. Alex, what's your last choice?
So I probably feel like I'm cheating a little bit with this one because the damage output isn't that great. But there is a weapon in Skyrim known as Auriel's bow.
Right.
And it's powerful enough that if you fire a blood-cursed arrow up into the sky, it will produce a ball of energy known as a false light, which will block out the sun and allow vampires to walk in the day.
Because
it blocks out the sun for 24 hours. And that in itself, if that doesn't scream OP, you're not playing Skyrim right.
I remember you showed me that one. I was like, ooh, pretty. Ah, scary.
It's a bow that blocks out the sun. That's overpowered.
For lack of a better term, you create a nuclear winter for 24 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. Though it doesn't give nuclear winter effects in the game itself. This is why we need a Skyrim remastered. So we can have a nuclear winter.
We've had Skyrim remastered for the Xbox One. And
we had Skyrim with graphics improvements.
And we've also got it coming up, Alex, for the Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S, and for the PS5. We've got it coming very soon. And a board game, yes. And no, Alex, just because Skyrim is basically Dungeons and Dragons for single player does not mean that I'm going to let you do that in your campaign.
I'm just waiting for the Skyrim edition of the Netflix adaptation of Skyrim. Anton Howard would have released it on everything.
Pretty much.
Ariel's bow is just ridiculously overpowered in concept. Not in strength of using it as a weapon, but in concept of being able to literally block out the sun and having the potential to cause a nuclear winter. That's overpowered.
Yeah. Now, I do have my last pick. My last pick, again, is a little bit of a cheat. But at the same time, this is something which you can't actually manhandle like you would a sword or a gun. But I do believe you can control, you do in a cutscene. It's the Halo Array. if you don't think this is an OP, this is literally a true weapon of mass destruction. Used as a last resort, the operation of the sacred rings is the epitome of a match upset.
Well, considering what this ring does,
yes, I'll get it's
pretty OP.
I'll get to it. Yes,
it makes Ariel look like a Cheeto.
Originally, a structure of 12 rings, the remaining 7 halos, were used by the Forerunners to combat the impending infestation of the Flood, a seemingly impossible enemy of intelligent and evolving parasitic organisms. Basically, what the Halo Array does is it eradicates all biological life in the universe.
Yikes.
Yikes indeed. That's an OP weapon. And you don't get to control... It only works like that if you control the entire array. And I think the Master Chief just uses the one ring to stop the flood on this occasion. But it's still unbelievably powerful and it's terrifying. And me and Alex loved every second of Halo. And
yeah,
can't
he
wait
sends the sergeant out with a bang.
Indeed. Right. We can't wait to play some more Halo on the channel, but this was absolutely fucking insane. As probably the lore behind the rings and the power builds through all of the games, right up to the point where you realise the only way to save the day is to detonate the ring. And you're like, that's a bad thing. But it's the only way to stop them. And it will save the Earth. It's kind of scary. And that's an OP weapon for you, baby.
Nice.
Well, no, the opposite of nice. Unfortunately, that's quite, it's quite a bad thing, to be brutally honest. But, yeah, yeah. Although, why the Forerunners need it in the third place is open to opinion. Right. Now then, my peeps. What have you got for me in terms of honourable mentions? Kerry?
I've got two.
Go on, then. What you got?
One of them is very, very oddly specific. Mm-hmm. Gen 1 Pokemon slash if it has a fast Pokemon, because then it always crits.
Yes. Yes.
I've died many fucking times to slash on fast Pokemon.
Can relate. Can relate. Do not want. Do not want.
And the other one, yeah. I mean, it's a game, so it technically counts. Charlie's fucking fists. My brother's character in my Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
I mean, Charlie is a step up above my characters by like quite a wide margin, but yes, I suppose
they are
Charlie's
opiate.
Fists do count.
They come in all sorts of flavours too.
They are OP as hell, that is very true. Alex, any honorable mentions from you?
I mean, one of them is technically D&D related, and I was going to pick one is Magic Missile. Because it never misses. You don't even have to roll for it to hit.
Yes.
And number two is the diamond sword from Minecraft. It doesn't do much more. It doesn't do much more. Huh?
Alfie said he would have picked that.
The diamond sword doesn't do much more damage than the sword beneath it, but it has twice the duration of the sword beneath it. So it's once you build one, you're set for a while. And if there's anyone who plays like more modern Minecraft, don't bitch, because I know there's a stronger sword now, but fuck off. The diamond sword is like the best.
Send your complaints to @SpiderBirdUK on Twitter, people.
Absolutely. Funny, I will always have the diamond sword over the new one.
Okay, rather than the pearl sword. Right, okay. So I've got some picks here.
Man, you start with disadvantage for mentioning your top honourable mentions.
Okay. My honourable mentions, one of them is, well, has just come to me, but it has been nerfed, so it's no longer one that counts. It was Alili's Lightning Breath in my campaign, which was 10d10, with 10d10 if they hit. But at the same time, we've kind of nerfed that now, so that no longer counts.
Rest in peace, 10d10.
Yeah, but it fails you to have fucking Moonbeam, so... So, you know, it's all good. And you can actually combine those two as well. So,
spicy moonbeam.
Exactly. Yeah. So, my two picks was the Call of Duty Tactical Nuke. Because if you get that, it
comes up.
Because you get that, it's game over. You win. End of story. Literally. And the other one, Kerry will not know this one, probably, but Alex will. It's Grand Theft Auto 5 Online, the Orbital Cannon.
Yes.
Alex can vouch for this, because Alex has got this thing about, and he's a really good shot with a sniper rifle. Alex, he's a really good shot, I will give him his props. But when you've got a fucking orbital laser cannon targeting at him, it hits every single time. And it's an instant kill. Obviously. It's the laser cannon from space. It does cost you $750,000 in the game to fire it.
So it's like a worthy purchase.
There is a workaround. I think it's like session jumping or something like that, but you can make it free to use.
I'm not sure about that, but either way, even at that sort of money, it's still worth it.
Yeah, okay.
And it's OP as hell because it'll blow up anything you're in as well. You could be in a tank, and they're hard to blow up. Alex managed to do it a few times, but it's hard to blow up. Anything which is seemingly indestructible will be blown to pieces by this thing. I even got Alex once when he was flying in one of the flying DeLoreans, which can turn like
things are evil. That the DeLorean should have ended up on this list, because that the DeLorean in GTA is evil.
It is, and it's super nippy as well. But the thing is that yes, you can turn with it, but you try landing it without putting your wheels down, it's impossible. It's good. If you get a chance to have that in your, bear in mind, if you actually get it, you've actually got to pay out probably about $2.5 million in the first place to get the thing put in, and to actually have the bunker to house it as well beforehand. You could do it all from a smartphone. Because all you got to do is a targeting thing. Why you have to have a whole computer for it there? You could literally do it on the phone now. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, those are my honourable mentions. I probably could think of a couple more if you want me to. Do you want to think of one, Alex, or are you good?
If I was to think of one, Reed's shotgun. I don't think it's very often we get a weapon in D&D, which is 1d12 plus 10.
Yes, but I haven't hit the damn thing yet, so...
I mean, you have hit a few things.
Yeah, just not mine to hit targets.
I mean, in my second episode, you blew a kobold in half with it.
Yeah. That's fair. I'll tell you what we can do. We can come back and do some of the worst weapons in gaming for the opposite of being OP, as in the weakest weapons. We might do it in a few weeks' time. We'll see how it goes. That wasn't too shabby at all. Guys, good list. What have we all been playing? Has it been Animal Crossing for you, Kerry?
No, I've been replaying Detention, the Taiwanese horror game, just because I really love that one.
You have been saying good things about this. How much is it, roughly?
On the Switch, it's a tenner. I'd say it's well worth it. It's not the longest game in the world, but it's very, very immersive, or so I found it. It's like 2D side-scrolling, but it does grab you.
Nothing with side-scrolling game. Worked for Mario for years. What are you playing, Alex, at the moment?
I'm not playing a lot, if I'm honest. The last game that I properly played was when me, you, Kerry and Caitlin all sat down and played Among Us. I think that was the last proper game I've actually played.
We do need to play some more Among Us at some point. We have footage going on.
D&D on top of that, as I say every single time you ask, because we do play weekly.
We do play a lot of D&D, that is very true. And yeah, so I'm writing a lot at the moment for D&D. I'm also playing, because Alex hasn't quite got his hang on his recording software yet, I've been playing a lot of stuff going up on the YouTube every now and again. Hitman's been going up there. We've had some Tetris up there. I did Animal Crossing this past week with me giving a guided tour of Edenoi. That's of the island, not the horror dimension, which is where they are for D&D. And various other games just pop up every now and again. But don't worry, guys. No FIFA will turn up on the channel. It's fine.
Because I will delete the channel if FIFA ever turns up on there.
FIFA will not be on there unless it is for a challenge.
Then the channel gets deleted afterwards because you upload it with FIFA.
If it was a challenge, Alex, for like Christmas or something, like then that would be different. But it's not. So in any case... I've been playing a lot of Hitman. I'm adoring my Hitman. Thank you everybody who has watched the videos so far. I know Kerry watched one and thought it was really well done, so I appreciate her independent feedback. I say independent, she's part of the team, but she was independent at the time. And Alex says at some point he'll get to Hitman, which is fine, because if that's the case, I'm going to stop, because that's what I'll do is I'm gonna be, if it's right with you, Alex, I will just start the playthrough of the campaign, and maybe I'll have you watch and just like give comments at random about it.
Okay,
that sounds like a plan. We might stop that at some point next week. So yeah, that's pretty much it for this week, guys. As always, check out Chris next week. He'll be back with another proper news and obviously his topic of the week. Make sure you check out Dungeons and Junkies out every Friday. Next week, it's going to be the first part of the latest episode of Needanoi. Second part will be out the week after. Kerry has got episodes coming in the pipeline as well for you guys, as has Alex. We've all got so much content of Dungeons & Dragons coming your way. Make sure you do check it all out. And thank you again for all the support you're giving us in the SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts and all the other places. Thank you so much. It means a lot to all of us because we started this for a bit of fun, and now you guys are putting so much love behind us. We appreciate it immensely. Kerry, people can find you at Shira Beans, I believe.
Yeah.
And you also looking after the Instagram, I believe.
The Dungeons and Junkies art Instagram.
Indeed. And I'm looking for, and there's lots of good stuff up there and more to come. Don't worry, guys. Kerry is a fantastic artist, so you're in good hands there. Don't look so perplexed, you are.
Thank you.
Okay. And, Alex isn't too bad an artist either. It runs in the family, clearly. Alex.
I can do chibis, but that's about it. Kerry's on a whole other level.
Alex does fantastic chibis. Don't listen to a word he says.
Okay, Alex. Spiel.
Okay, so you can find me at Spiderbread UK. That's probably never going to change. I keep saying it will, but it will at some point. You can find our ever-growing collection of madness at Dungeon Junkies, where there's endless D&D content. If you want the Underworld, Pirates, Murder Island full of passive people, the traditional world of Edenoi, the Waste, which is a darker version of Matt's world, if you like. If you wanted to describe it, it's like a darker version.
There's always more to come. Thank you to our sponsor Triumph Chairs. Use our code Game Junkies all caps at the checkout to get 10% off amazing chair. And find me at Mattack UK and this show at Game Junkies Pod. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. On behalf of us all, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry. I keep forgetting I've actually got to say my name.
It's all good. Guys, be safe, get a vaccine, and wear a damn mask. We're out of here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.